shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
I want to see him, don't you? Amen. What a day. We're just, every day that we live, we think every day we're getting older. But every day we're getting younger. It just don't feel like it. It just don't seem to fit. But that ain't got nothing to do with it, because we're getting closer to the Lord and him and his ways and doing. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been in Matthew 24. And we'll just go from there and follow our thought that we've been taking for a while. All right. Remember now. Well, first off, we want to thank everybody for all of my wife and I wants to thank everybody for all of the gifts, the cards, the thoughts, and the things of this Christmas. And I just pray that you've had a good time for this year. And always I am looking forward to greater times, and I believe it, and I just thank him for that and taking it all to do it. Okay, I appreciate, you know, we do everything that you gave us and all to do it. Really enjoyed Brother Altig and the brothers. We've had a good chain of ministers, I think, in the past, you know, three or four. So I pray that's a good sign of the end of the year winding out, but looking forward to more promises in the future. Looking forward to the watch tonight. Brother Chris Long will be here with us, ministering to us for that. And we'll have the fellowship meeting. We'll be here on the third Saturday in January. And Brother
Aaron
McGarity will be ministering for us then. Okay. The Lord willing, Wade will be ministering this weekend coming up, and because he's going to be gone next weekend with Brother Chris Long and all in traveling, so he'll take that, and we'll just swap over, and I'll take both services, because I'd like to have two on this part that we've been trying to talk on anointed ones. And I wish you would read or listen to the message, Anointed Ones. You know, I wish you would listen to that, read the book or listen to the message on Anointed Ones, and just write down thoughts and things as you go through and do it, okay? There will be no service here on December the 25th, on that Wednesday. We will not be having, because that'll be your Christmas time, all right? There won't be no service on the next Wednesday, which would be January the 1st. Because we'll be having the watch night service, you know, up until that. Okay. Trying to get these announced and all. And pray that the Lord would bless each and every one of us with all of them. Let's see. I don't want to miss nothing. But anyhow, just thank God for all things. Pray that God will be with you. Just pray that little Samuel will get here, because there have been a lot of problems, and they're having troubles trying to get him into this world. But we believe he'll be here. Terrence and Anna are there, you know, and Terrence and Lisa is there with them, and maybe they'll get it done without us. We're expecting a phone call, so if we get this thumbs up, we'll say, he here, Samuel got here, okay. So that's the one that'd be a namesake after me. All right. Any other announcements that we missed? Okay. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. We thank you for all things, and we just ask you to be with us, and Lord, that you would bless and guide each one, and have your way in the service tonight, and let your love be with us. Just be with Anna and Zach and the little baby there, Lord, and bring everything forth as it's supposed to be, and be with Terrence and Lisa there, you know, trying to be a booster for them. So just have your way with all of us, and may we all rejoice in your love and understanding, that your light may shine in our hearts. Forgive our sins and just keep us in your love. We ask you to help us to understand what we need to speak about, because we can take a topic, we can take a thought, but yet within that is what we need to have, and we pray you would help us to understand. Forgive our sins and lead us by thy grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew. Matthew 24, we'll begin verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Let not them which are in Judea flee, let them which are be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which be on the housetop not come down to take anything out of this house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. You remember how we were bringing out, verse 15 brings out the Mosque of Omar. Then you get up to the 16 and all like that. You start talking about when Titus come into Jerusalem in AD 70. And those that were caught inside the city, see, they were told to leave. This is telling them to get out. And they said there was no record of any true Christian left in. Now, that's Brother Brown's wording, left in Jerusalem, because they all fled, you know, for safety, okay? Neither let him which be in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. It'd be hard traveling, hard moving, and all of doings, all right? But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, because the Judean hills, I think, would be covered over at that time. So pray that that wouldn't happen. For then shall the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, coming all the way down now to where we're at, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And Brother Branham said, now he would get it so tied up until he cut the work short. Now remember what I'm saying about the word short. It looks like saying it that way, that he was intending for it to last 40 more years, but he's going to stop it. That's not the point. You remember years ago when we started doing it, where the Bible speaks of he'd do a short work. You remember the scripture said he'd do a short work, cut it short in righteousness. That word work is word. Look it up in your dictionary. Look it up in your concordances. It means word. He's not going to cut short some. He's going to pour the word in. You understand? He's going to pour the word in and make it come in real fast in the last days, because it's a short word that he's going to do. Not a short work. He ain't cutting days off. The great eternal God wouldn't be doing that away. You know, it's not, but that, you know, I think about that he will do a short word, all right? Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. He is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will eagles be gathered together. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Many of you probably remembers a man one time, they used to, Brother Brown confirmed there's about 40-something different kind of eagles. There are such thing as vulture eagles. All right. And, Brother Branham confirms that. And this Pentecostal preacher was making fun of me there at work about it. And see, they call me the head eagle, and because of this trying to gather a group to that, and the thing. But I told him, I said, now, you can make fun of me. I talked to him personally quite, as a Pentecostal preacher. I said, you can make fun of me all you want to. And I said, I know about the 40-something different kind of eagles. I said, there is vulture eagles. I admit that. But that also means they're true eagles. All right? And I said, now, you're a preacher. And I knew it. See, and I said, I know your church teaching on that scripture. I said, your church teaching is that's the coming of the Lord. And he just backed off and he said, I'll never say another word about you. I said, okay, thank you. Because you see, that's what that's talking about. This is talking about the coming of the Lord. Where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. Where the word of God is, your children will gather to that word. All right. Now watch it when we get over to where we're going to and stop tonight in the message at a little point of Brother Branham telling us that with this part we're talking about, the anointing, we can find out whether we are seed or weeds. All right? Now we'll get to that if we can get to the point, but I want you to think on those things. All right? Now, so there would be false Christ in the last days. All right? Read that over and over and over about it, because even just reading it one time, you don't get what you need. Keep reading it until you see what all of it's talking about. All right? And then it's the fulfillment of the scriptures. See? We know that where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. All that's the fulfillment of the scriptures. And all of what we were just reading, the parts of it where it talks about the Christ. Don't go after it. In other words, don't go after all of these false doctrines. All right. You remember how that we brought out Deuteronomy the other day in the last services. All right. That in Deuteronomy it talks about how that he would bring among the people, allow these things to happen, that false prophets would come. And said, if they preach to you, in other words, and said, it comes to pass. But said, if they lead you to another God, don't believe them. Another message, another thought, not another God. Another thought, another doctrine, another idea, like the people of this message. See, they'll take Brother Branham's message and twist it and make another doctrine, another idea. But remember, what is it? Galatians 1:8. That there can't be but one gospel. There's not but one truth. All right? So then we should settle into that point of following the truth, the message of the hour, and not getting tied up in all of this other, because that is part of what God has allowed. He would allow, it says there in Deuteronomy, he would bring these among us to try us. Brother Brown said he would do it to find out if whether we'd stay with the truth or not. You mean God will allow these things to happen to his children? Yes. To see whether or not we're his children. See whether or not we'll stay with what he's saying. Or take some thoughts of our own or ideas of our own. And you see today in the mass destruction across the land of the people with doing it. Well, the Bible says that they must needs be heresies among you, that they that are approved may be made manifest. Manifested to make known. Amen. These things of coming in the last days to try me and you. Amen. To see whether we'll stay with the truth or not. All right? And see, that's going to be given. It's given all these years to try us. And see, it's got to be, because the scripture speaks of how you've got to be somewhere before you can fall away. Right. Well, that's where the people of the message, 50 years of studying the message or something, and then fall away. See, that's scripture. Amen. We shouldn't be downhearted about the hour that we're in if we see what's going on. Amen. We should be rejoicing. Because somewhere it's going to have to come to pass that all of this will be consummated, or ever how you say it, and it'll come back to the point that something's going to happen, and praise God, whatever you're looking for it to happen, whatever I'm looking for it to happen, thank God, bring it on, let's see what it'll bring, because it's going to take these things to bring that.
Amen.
Whatever you think it is, it's going to take the point of where that Satan is loosed to try the people. And what about now if the Bible speaks of there, because it's always been amazing to me when Brother Brown spoke of those back there, you know, about so many 100,000 and everything. He said it's going to be loosed on the bride. He said it was loosed on Israel to drive her to the homeland. Said it'll be loosed on the bride to drive her where? To the message of the hour. Demons. What about all the demons that was already there? And then what, 200,000, thousands, how many millions that would be and all, is loosed on the bride to drive her to the homeland. Well, I'll tell you what, the way you talk about God, I don't like him too well. Well, he's wanting to be a daddy. He's wanting to be a father. He's wanting to display himself. And to show us how much he loves us. And sometimes he has to spank us. Sometimes he has to whip us to get us to do. I was thinking today about it, and I'm thinking of all of us, how much sickness is among us. But you know what? They ain't one. Now, bad colds are, we could get in our mind the right way of looking at things. To me, a bad cold or a sniffle or something like that, I don't count that as the devil after me. Boy, I tell you what, I blowed my nose twice yesterday. Devil must be after me. That's getting a little too narrow, I think.
Yeah.
But do you know what? There can't be one thing come on you if God don't permit it. Is that right? That don't sound good, does it? Hey, brother, I'm sick. Well, the devil's after us. All right? But see, if we don't realize it that way, then we'll try to everything else. Okay. All right. Just trying to get a little point now to us tonight in a thought that I have. Really, Brother Altig was striking on something, and it just rolled over into where that I was speaking, and I said, oh, okay, that's good, you know. And so we'll just continue the thought. All right? Now, what about these that are false Christ? Because that's what it's called them in Matthew 24.
Amen.
False Christ. All right? Now, not meaning what the way we make it of false Christ, see, as to the point of making it that the individual person can be wrong, but the Christ is right. We say, well, look at Balaam and how he was. Yes. But look at him. I looked that up finally the other day to where I do it, and I wrote it down somewhere. So, Balaam's prophecy, you'll find it in Numbers 24, 1 through 5. I've always said Balaam prophesied. It's not necessarily prophesying of the coming of the Lord into that realm, but it's close to it. Because that's what the scriptures see. Balaam prophesied. It was even written in the Bible. Caiaphas prophesied. And said it was necessary that one die for the sins of the people. Being high priest, Brother Branham said, the anointing came on him to testify of that. All right? So then we're not looking at false Christ as to try to find some kind of a whang bang guy out here that claims he's got all this and all the others and all kind of things happening. But those things are happening. And you know what? There's gifts following those things. Now, where's the gift come from? We're not talking about bad gifts. We're talking about good gifts. Huh? See, we're going to get into that point a little more when we finish. We'll get into the next message. And that's why I won't kind of put it in a couple of messages together there. Of how that we know what the prophet has taught us. That what? The anointing is upon your spirit.
That's right.
All right? It's upon your spirit. The anointing is upon your spirit. It's not in your soul. It's not on those bases. And it works back out through that spiritual part, out into the flesh, so that's not the point. But the anointing is on the spirit. All right? Now remember what we read. See? That Christ would be so deceiving until it would almost deceive the elect. Now that's pretty strong. That ain't no Baptist out here hollering, we believe in three gods, and you get up to heaven, you ain't going to heaven and find this one sitting there. It's going to be three or four around all over the place. You need something like that. You got to get closer. Right? See, then, that Christ. See, we always took anything that would be in any way relation to God would be good. We could never consider, even though the Bible would call it that, I'm talking about we as people, we would never consider that to be what the prophet came out to teach it as being. That it would turn out to be the genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Amen.
On your spirit. And you still be lost. No, we always thought anybody shouted, spoke in tongues, oh, they've got a little problems or something. Anybody that claimed to be a Christian, come to the altar, shook hands with the preacher, whatever, you know. We always thought, well, them's Christians. They just got problems.
Yeah.
But just remember now, the things that we talk about and do, don't never place the wrong thing upon God as doing. And heaven help you to try to figure out some way that God is doing these things to line us up. And it not line up with the word. Let him line it up. Let him say it. Let him say, this is my army that I sent among you. Right? See, did he send the devil? No. He permitted the devil. Now you got it right. You're not putting it in the wrong place. You're getting it in the right order. So that's what we're supposed to be looking at. But let's go to the scripture now and just see on this of toward this day and coming forth from the Old Testament of the types and shadows, then we can come to the New Testament. Because if you can't follow the anointing throughout the Old Testament, see, you would never be able to understand how Moses could tell God a better way of doing something. Right?
Right?
You can't figure out those things back there that was in the Old Testament. See? Unless you understand anointed ones.
Yeah.
And we're over here on this side with the Holy Ghost to not just be an anointing, but to be a new birth. But not to just be anointed with the Holy Spirit, but to actually have the very life of Christ living within us.
Amen.
But to understand what took place to bring it down. So we come through the Old Testament, down into the hour that we're living. So go ahead, brothers, and pull up number two on your things there, because I told them they didn't have no number one, because these notes, I've had them for about 3 weeks, I guess. And I still got a lot of them, but a lot of you've got them if you'd held on. But look what it says in Acts 2. They were all amazed. Now, you know what happened here. This is the coming of the Holy Ghost, right? when it fell on the day of Pentecost. Okay. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to the other, what meaneth this? In other words, what's taking place, these things that are happening? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men and brethren, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel.
Amen.
Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All right? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show great wonders in heaven and all like that.
Right.
Now watch. Keep in mind what it's saying. I'll pour, because we're going back to Joel, pick that up. But look, it's poured upon all flesh. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's got the Holy Ghost or it's living in them.
Right?
Right? It has nothing to do with that relationship. It's pouring it out upon all flesh. Now, look what it's saying. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons. And watch it. And your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, here's yours and here's mine. Showing, that's what I'm talking about, showing that it'll be on all flesh. It'll be poured out, and all flesh shall be put to the basis that they can receive it. It doesn't mean, now I'm honest to try to say not a correct of scripture, but I don't see everybody in the world getting the anointing. Because you don't want to anoint Judas and, I mean, all these over there under, and the Buddhas and Hindus and Muslims and the things like that. See, don't get all of that in you. Well, boy, he's going to pour it out on all flesh. I remember one brother preaching here one time. He had that to going so much that he had the cabbage having the Holy Ghost. And I said, now that's a little bit too far. Huh? I don't think the cabbage has got it. That's, you know, but that's all right. But look what it says. See, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Okay. What? It poured it out on all. Now, the Bible says that rain falls on the just and the unjust, right? Now, that's what it's talking about. It's falling on, we'll read that in a minute. It's falling on all flesh, not on everything that's doing. The rain don't fall out there. There's places in the world that hadn't had any rain in 500 years, probably. So that's not saying it's going to fall everywhere like falling everywhere. Get the right understanding of what we're talking about. He's going to pour it out on those that would receive it. Right? All right? Now, while we're at that point, let's drop back there and just read it so we won't have the... You know, let's go back to Joel and read that so that we won't mess up on that. Have you got it? I know I didn't give it to you on these notes, but I've got it in the others. But anyhow, I was just going to show you, but just you got time, go back and read it yourself. Okay. Now listen. Pour out his spirit on all flesh. Meaning that it will be Jew and Gentile. That's what it's meaning to pour it out on all flesh. Right? Because we're in a Gentile dispensation. A Gentile dispensation means nations that can come in and receive. All right? The Spirit can be poured out, and it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and it was just a select group that was there to receive it. All right? Showing that that was not the total fulfillment of Joel, that it would be poured on all flesh. But it would come to the last day, because there you only have true, genuine seed. In the upper room, right? 120. True, genuine seed. All right? Now, exclude Judas and send him out of it before it's over with. But he was there. You know? All right? But then see, in the last days, he would pour it out on everything. Pour out upon all things. Now, forgive me to try to be so carnal, but I pick up wrong thoughts. Maybe they're mine. But like I said, on Azusa Street, it wasn't poured out on everybody in the world. It wasn't poured out on the day of Pentecost on everybody in the world. So settle the point in your mind what it's saying. He poured out on all flesh. It's poured out to where that any point, Jew, Gentile, Samaritan, whatever, that was not so in the original on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, it was only the Jews. Right? And even your first church age was basically all Jews. Just a few Gentiles sprinkled in here and yonder, the prophet said. All right. But see, then in this last days on Azusa Street of 1906, the Holy Ghost fell. And it fell then to where that it would go on to any nation or any part. But it's not going to fall on something that's not religious. We'll get to that as we go along. Your anointing that will anoint your spirit will make you religious. All right, but I hope I get to the end of the message where I wrote the notes like this. There's a vast difference between Christianity and religion. But now, and religion can be anointed. Right? Okay, come on now. Let's get the point and just go down. All right, I want you to read the anointed ones to end time because I like the way he explains it. Okay? So let's go ahead with number three. All right. Paragraph 25. Okay. But see, now watch what he's getting at. There shall arise false prophets, anointed ones, with a message. And the only way the message can be brought out is by one that's anointed. And that would be a prophet, anointed. There shall rise false anointed teachers. Now watch him. If you take literally word for word what he's saying, it would only be poured out on a prophet. So don't get hooked in on that. You say, Brother Dale, you just make things so dry and carnal till we get dead listening to you. Well, there's one thing about it. You don't have to have no misunderstanding.
That's right. Amen.
This ain't dealing with just one prophet.
Right?
Come on, because there's plenty of false prophets. Now watch. And the only way the message can be brought out is by one that's anointed. And that would be a prophet, anointed. There shall rise false anointed teachers. A prophet teaches what his message is. Anointed teachers. But anointed people with false teaching. Anointed people with false teaching. Anointed ones, Christ, plural. Prophets, plural. If there's such a thing as a Christ singlet, then there would have to be anointed ones that their prophecy or what they were teaching would be different, be the difference because they're anointed ones. All right? Now he said, this is a Sunday school lesson. So let's get down, he said, in the scriptures. Not by what someone else has said about it, but just reading the scripture. You say, how can this be? How can it be? that there can be false Christ. That can have the actual genuine Holy Spirit anointing their spirit and teaching false doctrine. Come on, one of these days we're going to find out why the prophet had to come bring us the word. Now, he didn't come to bring us the anointing. He didn't come to bring us those things. He came to bring us the word. God will anoint the word. Because I like the way he said one time, he said, you don't have to pray for God to anoint the word. He said, his word's already anointed. All right, so I like that. Okay, now listen. You say, how can this be? With the anointed ones, what were they? Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T-S, anointed. Christ and false prophets. Anointed ones, but false prophets. Jesus said that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Okay, now he's putting it in the scripture. Now someone might say to me, do you believe that that anointing on those people means that it's anointing of the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. The genuine Holy Spirit of God upon a person, and yet they're false. What's he meaning, they're false? They're not born again. Is that simple terminology? They're not born again. All right? So no matter what the anointing is, see, that's why I've always tried to do it, and I found out something the other day. I found out that they're teaching now that the 12 had the Holy Ghost before Pentecost. Yep. That they had it back before Jesus was crucified. Yep. I said, my Lord, people, we understood in the Baptist church, we taught that you couldn't get born again until after the Holy Ghost fell, because the Bible said it. But see, that's how far people can go off and claim this message. Amen. With their own concept or thought, see, of the anointing. They're false. They're not falsely anointed. See, that's a different thing. Being falsely anointed would be something without. No, the anointing is genuine. But their teaching is what's false. All right? But how much closer does it get with Balaam that his teaching was not false of what he said about Jesus Christ? What about Caiaphas, that his teaching was not false when he prophesied that one must die for the sins of the people? But yet he was an anointed one. There was nothing wrong with the anointing. Brother Branham said Balaam could not say, you remember he told him? He told Balak, he said, I'll go with you. He said, but I can't say nothing, only what that angel or what God tells me. And even regardless of what he was offered, he said, I'll give you so much of the king. He said, you can give me the whole thing. He said, I can't say nothing that God don't tell me. And he didn't. But he tricked the people into going wrong after the Moabite women and the things that was in the land. Right. But as far as his message that he brought, he was lined up good. Right. But then he went after the wrong thing, monies and things, right? Amen. Listen, and listen close and see what he said. And they shall show signs and wonders insomuch that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Right. And they are anointed with a genuine Holy Spirit. I know this sounds very foolish, but we're going to take time and examine it by the word. That's absolutely, thus saith the Lord, the truth. What about it? The anointing is not false. It's the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's on the people. Not false. It's not false anointed ones. It's anointed ones that they themselves are false. Because of their teaching. See? Had Balaam stayed with God, he'd stay. In other words, that's what's always caught me. I like things, something bangs you. Brother Brown said one day, he said to be a prophet in Israel meant something. And I thought, wow. Balaam's a false prophet. But it meant something. You know what? Everybody's running to him, wanting him to. What would have happened if Brother Branham would have went after the wrong thing? You know, the gift would have still been working. You remember how that they tried to get him to find that oil well, and he knew exactly where it was at. But he knew they was going to use the money wrong, and they had done told him they would put the money in the work of God. He would have been a multi-billionaire. And he turned every bit of it down. That gift and that prophet would work. That's why it was being so dangerous. You think it couldn't have been? What if Brother Branham would have went to Israel? See, he said, God told him, said, don't go. Said, the iniquity of the Amorites is not full yet. Said, don't go. He said, I do believe that I'll have something to do, remember? With Israel getting the message, and I believe it too. Amen. They're going to get this message. They're going to get it through two prophets. But it'll be, thus saith the Lord, right straight through from this message to show them the truth of it all. I believe that. But what if he'd have went? What if he'd have got up there and said, if I'm right, let God come and vindicate it. You say, would have God done it? Yes. He killed 40-something children because a prophet said, cursed. Brother Brown said, now that was not God. He knew how to handle it, but he said it was the power of the prophet. See, one of these days I'll preach on what anointing really is, because Brother Branham tells us, anointing is not speaking in tongues, shouting, crying, this and that, and gift signs and wonders. The prophet said anointing was supreme power in control. Now that's the anointing, supreme power in control. See, that's why if you know the truth and you got it right, you ain't afraid of nothing. You think I'm afraid to go on the internet around the world and preach what I preach? The way that I preach? No. Because see, I've always got one thing. If you correct what I preach, I can gain from that. But if it turns out it don't, maybe you'll get corrected. It's okay. I don't worry. But listen now. All right? Now he said, you mean to tell me that is the genuine Holy Spirit. See, we're taught, basically most of the people of the message still teach it that way, that if you was in any way connected with God, you got eternal life. You're okay. And if you got gifts working in your life, you're really okay. And it's not much different than what I remember Brother Moat telling about that guy that had run off with a piano player, and this lady called him up and was talking to him on the phone, and she come back and told him, said, he still had the Holy Ghost, said, because he was speaking in tongues right while he was talking to me. Now, that's something, isn't it? It didn't matter if he'd run off with a piano player. She thought he was still right. But you see, church, why it would be so close it would deceive the very elect. If it was possible. All right? Well, frankly, the prophet said he'd get them tied up. But he'd have to cut the work short. Like I said, I hope I'm going to repeat it again, because that one is hard to follow. Come on. Listen to what I'm saying about it. That anointing is so wonderful. You realize that the prophet said the same Holy Ghost that was on Moses was on Balaam. The same Holy Ghost that was on Caiaphas is the one that was on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what I love about it? The same Holy Ghost that was dwelling inside of the Lord Jesus Christ, by your new birth, that Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. Not as an anointing. remember, I've made this statement. You bear well that you write it down. Anointed ones are not sealed in because it's in your spirit. And you're not sealed in your spirit. You're sealed in your soul. So anointed ones you see real quick. I'll just ask you the question because this is what is with me. What's the difference in a person who really genuinely has... Let me put Brother Branham, okay? What's the difference in Brother Branham? Now, take aside him being a prophet and et cetera, but I'm using that as an illustration. What's the difference in that than some unbeliever that you could think of? They're both anointed. But do you realize that old Joe Blow or who you'd call the other one, Samuel Dale or anything you want to do with, you know, that anointing, I don't matter if that inside of me is false as can be. This spirit within inside of me can be anointed by the Holy Spirit and do great signs and wonders and me be lost and die and go to hell. Just get the anointing as the right of what you're doing. And when you're reading the book, you'll see what he's talking about or listening to the tape. There's no difference in that anointing. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. The anointing is where you're anointed. And you're not sealed in that anointing. You're sealed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your soul. That displays back out through your spirit and into your body. What about it? Do we realize that? But you realize that's too, like he's saying, you mean to tell me that you believe that is a genuine anointing? Come on. You say, how can this be? With the anointed ones, what were they? Christ. C-H-R-I-S-T-S, anointed. Christ and false prophets. Anointed ones, but false prophets. Jesus said that the rain would fall on the just and the unjust. And someone might say to me, do you believe that that anointing on those people means that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. The genuine Holy Spirit of God upon a person, but yet they are false. Is that what he's saying? We got another one in here. We got a whole lot more we'll bring where he says they're lost. Yes, but you can't tell me, Brother Dale, I'm lost. I'm anointed. I feel it. That's why Brother Run said you can't tell that woman that was cutting grass out there with her shorts on that it was wrong for her to do it. I knoweth it not. I'll get to that one. He said you can't tell her that. Why? Because she's anointed. Being anointed with the Spirit of God doesn't mean you're saved. I'm trying to get that to all of us. Well, you're taking away everything. If I'm taking away anything, it's not genuine. False word can't even take away truth. Right?
Amen.
Don't worry about it. All right? Go ahead to number 5. Let's read number 4. Let's get that one. Let's get Deuteronomy we had the other day, okay? All right? And there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. Wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. But Brother Dale, how can we know? How can we know whether we're right or not? What's the evidence of the Holy Ghost? where the Spirit in you agrees with the Word or not. Now remember, that's not talking about anointing there. Come on. It's whether or not that that's living within you as the Jesus Christ in your soul, sealed in by the anointing of the Holy Ghost and made alive the Word that's within there, and you turn around and you won't be deceived. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I said this 40 years ago. I said one day, and I was using this very scripture, I said, what would happen if you rolled three caskets in here and a guy get up there and say, you know that everybody don't believe in my doctrine of two souls, two lords, and whatever, this or that or the other kind of messages, but said, God's going to raise these from the dead. Said, you come down and raise them. And what if they're raised from the dead? God says he's doing it to try you. Come on. That's what I mean. If you're going to do anything in this message, why not get down into the message? That's what gets me. And here they come up with some idea because of some date out yonder, some this, that, or that. They don't get into the meat of the message.
Amen.
Because when that two-soul doctrine came out years ago, you know what it set me on? The study of the soul. The two-soul doctrine set me anchored into one thing, to learn what the prophet said about the soul, what the Bible said about it. Because it was very, very deceiving, but not enough to deceive anybody hardly. But yet it did. Where are you at? Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Let's see, wait just a minute before we get to... Where's that other one? I want one. Hold on a minute. Yeah. If you'll drop back to number 3, when Brother Branham is on the anointed ones, he said, listen close and see what he said. And they shall show signs and wonders, insomuch that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. And they are anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit. I know that sounds very foolish, but we're going to take time and explain it by the Word. That's absolutely, thus saith the Lord. Now, that should be enough for any of us. But listen. Going back over to number 5, let's pick up now. We was in number 4. These are all from anointed once in time today on the message. The same Holy Spirit that anoints the church, that gives them desire to save souls, that gives them power to perform miracles, it falls on the unjust the same as the just. And the very same Spirit. Now, you can't make it another way and understand Matthew 24:24. He said, there shall rise false Christ, false anointed ones, anointed with a genuine thing, but be false prophets of it, false teachers of it. See? False teachers, anointed Christ, but false teachers. It's the only way you can see it. Now let's get number 6 and then we'll see. Because this will be where we'll get to and stop. Now the teaching of Balaam, not the prophecy of Balaam. Watch it. That was all right. The what? The prophecy of Balaam. Not the teaching of Balaam wasn't right. It's the prophecy of Balaam. Because that was what God said. That was all right. That was God. How many believe that? Congregation says amen. The prophecy of Balaam was exactly right. Because he couldn't speak nothing else. The anointing of God wouldn't speak nothing else. That's where I don't understand when people say, God told me. God can't told you and me anything that ain't in his word. That might not be good language, but it's plain sense. He can't teach you something that's not in his word. So I'm going to stay with the word. I'll do the best I can. See, Balaam was exactly right, because he couldn't speak nothing else. The anointing of God wouldn't speak nothing else. And God vindicated it by proving it was the truth. But it was the teaching of Balaam. Now compare that with Matthew 24:24. Anointed ones, their teaching is false. The Trinities and all these things like that, wrong. Now, I'm saying they should have put wrong in space, Antichrist, because that's what it is. Wrong, not wrong Antichrist. Wrong. It was the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist now that's taking the people away from the real truth. What else is doing it? See? Instead of saying the Trinities and things, say the things that they're doing today. Well, Brother Branham was out there in Colorado, and he did. Me and Brother Ulrich talked about this Sunday. This was in the 70s. We had ministers' meetings in the 70s, about 71, somewhere right in there, about that cloud out there in Colorado. Arizona. I told them then, I said, what if you're going to find out one of these days they changed the dates on the hunting rights and allowed them to hunt that week? All it is a discrepancy between, Life and Brother Branham and his statements. And something spoke to me the other day, and I'm waiting on it to see. I believe it did. Said they're dealing with the wrong date. Now, we'll see one of these days whether that'll come out right or not. But that was the statement that was made. Said, they're dealing with the wrong date. What do I care? That's what I told Brother Ulrich. What I've told you over and over and over. I don't care what they prove. I don't care what they say about Brother Branham and the message and the things like that. He led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where I'll stay. I don't care what you say he done or didn't do or did do over there or whatever. You're just trying to find some little something.
Amen.
No, a prophet stands before no man.
Amen.
What if Brother Branham gave the wrong dates out there as a human being to where it would be confusing to you and me? I said as a human being, he couldn't lie about it. But he could make a statement of the wrong date on a human being's side. Remember, from his beginning up till 1964, coming into the seals, Brother Branham taught the White Horse Rider was the Holy Ghost. The seals had to break to show him the truth of that.
Amen.
Now, what are you going to do?
Amen.
And you know what he would do? Go back and listen. He would teach that the white horse rides even in your church age books. He would stand up there and say, if I've told you the truth, let God come and vindicate it. And God raised the dead and healed the sick and done all kind of miracles and wonders. Let me state it of what people are saying about with false word. It wasn't false word. Light had never shined on that. I don't care if Clarence Larkin taught before Brother Branham ever come that the White Horse Rider was the Antichrist. That don't make no difference. He was not the messenger. He said, you say what I say. He said, because I will be responsible. And up until 64, right in there, he was teaching that. But light, remember, whipped off the top. He said, light never shined down in here. There was nobody could correct him. Do you understand what he said when he made the statement? He said, no prophet, a man don't stand between God and a prophet. There's no way for a human mortal to correct a prophet of God. Come on, it ain't even sensible, because even Balaam couldn't tell it wrong. You say, yeah, but Brother Branham was wrong all them years. Oh, let's take some more. From 50s up to 63, 64, he taught body, soul, spirit, as the three rims. Right? But then when the seals broke, he taught body, spirit, soul. Excuse me, you're going to inward. Body outside, spirit, second rim, soul is the center. You realize until he taught that, you can teach the false doctrine with him. If all I had was from 62 back, I could read you that Brother Branham said this. You say, yeah, but wait a minute. Yeah. If he said something else, I got to take that now. Because there's the choice. There's the thing. He sent it to try us. To try us to see what we'd do. What are we going to do with it? All right. Let me read this because this is the point I want. Compare that with Matthew 24. All right. Let's see. Raise it up. Yeah, let's get it right here. I hope your feelings don't get hurt. Now, I hope. I would love to be able to preach. I've told you this over and over. How many wants to answer that part that I'm fixing to say? I've told you I wish I could preach that everybody in this building would find out whether they're born again or not. Because if you're not born again, you can do something about it. If you are born again, you're going to shout glory, hallelujah, about the truth. But see, we don't want to quote Brother Branham. We want our own little idea of something. But look what he says. I hope your feelings don't get hurt. And don't turn that them phones off. And don't get up and go out. Just sit still and let's see if the Holy Spirit won't reveal it to us. And prove to us. You say, but that just whatever you believe, just sit still and listen. It ain't just whatever you believe. And ask God to open your heart. Then you'll find out whether you're a briar or a thistle or whatever you're, wherever you're standing. Pray for him to open your heart. Yes, but I can't doubt that he saved me. I'm not asking you to doubt he saved you. I'm asking you for one time in your life to have concern about your own soul. Not what somebody else teaches. But whether or not you're born again in that soul. Because remember, anointed ones can't be sealed in. They're actually sealed out. By the same anointing that you're sealed in. Seals them out. We could find out whether or not we're Christians or not. Amen. If we understand what Brother Brown is teaching on anointed ones. Okay. Now here's the thought that came to me. There's a vast difference. You remember how he was bringing out Balaam had so many followers. This had so many followers. And that had so many followers. There's a vast difference between a Christian and a religious person. A religious person can be anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit on their spirit and still be lost. But a real true Christian, he has the anointing on his spirit also. We'll get to that. That's the joy of it. A true born again Christian has the anointing upon your spirit. But it quickens the word that's in your soul. The anointing ones don't have the word within them. That's why they're false. They can't have it within them. They turn it down. But a true genuine that has the word within them. Those disciples had that word in them waiting and the Holy Ghost fell and quickened the word that they had heard. There's your new birth is the word. Not an anointing. Not how much you shouted or cried or spoke in tongues. What I've told in my life, and most preachers could tell it, they would try to get the biggest following. I've seen God when I was 11 years old. I've seen an angel 3 times in my home. I have no problem with anybody. But none of that is the new birth.
Yeah, but you saw God? No. It's whether or not God can come in you. And that was my trouble back there. I'd go out, and you've heard me tell it, you ought to at least listen to what I say and say I'm not lying. Because I'm not trying to make nothing. But I'd go out and sin, the sins of the world, come home and feel sorry. And just sat down and said, why did I do that? You know, just, why did I do that? I just felt condemned. I never counted none of those things as the new birth. I never came into this message in glory, hallelujah, look what I saw before I heard the prophet. No. But you see, God is real. That's what he wanted me to know. He's real. You've heard me tell it the three times, especially the first time when I grabbed my pistol and took off after it. That's how real. I'm not no fly-by-night and crazy nut. I don't think so. But when I looked up and saw something standing in the bedroom door looking at me, the first thing I went for was a .357 hanging on my poster bed. I went after it. Peggy went off to bed on the other side, and the boys were straight across. She said, what are you doing? I said, get in that room with them. Why? I said, there's somebody in this house. You get in there with them. I searched that house over. I couldn't find nobody. Next time, it was a little different. A little more relaxed. The third time, when I turned over and looked, I said, well, you're still there. But you see, I'm not trying to teach you you got to have this, that, or the other to be a Christian. You don't have to see angels. You don't have to do those things. It's kind of what the scripture says about the old men to dream dreams, the young men to see visions. Well, see, old men dream dreams. Brother Ray, how old are you? You dream a lot. See, old men dream dreams. That's not throwing scripture. That's just showing you how crazy we all are in our thoughts. Young men have dream dreams. Some of these young boys have dreams and things. They're good. But you see, church, there's a vast difference between a religious person. A religious person can be anointed with the Holy Spirit, cast out devils, pray for the sick, do all kind of things.
Amen.
And yet turn down the word and prove that they're lost. There's where the proof comes, is us turning down the word. Amen. What about it? Because a religious person is like a church formed, like Brother Ulrich was talking about. You had Buddha and them coming up. Now let me ask you a question, seriously. Everybody just listen to me seriously for a second. What's the difference between Buddha and the doctrine and Christianity? Remember what the man said to Brother Branham? Buddha told us about a place to go. Buddha told us we had this waiting on us when we died. Right? Buddha, the Quran and the things. If you read the Quran, what little bit I've read of it, and talked to Sister Barbara about it, and some brother in India, Brother Pekash, if you took the Quran and lived by it, you'd live a good life. You got to fast so many days. You got to do this. You got to do that. If you took the Buddha doctrine and lived by it, you'd live a good life. Boy, you're crazy. I ain't never heard nobody talk like that. What is it? You're promised an old Indian was promised a happy hunting ground. But see, there was a lot of difference because they say of Geronimo that Geronimo talked to
a supernatural part. And that's the reason they could never catch him. He told him one day, he said, Geronimo made this statement, that whatever that was told him, says, they can never shoot you. And said, I will guide your arrows. One day the sun was rising, and they were being cut off by the military. And Geronimo said that ever what it was told him, said, it'll go, and it just went dark, cloudy, and they all rode off, and they never caught a one. Those people had a connection with the supernatural. But yet we think about it. See, now, what would be your answer to most people? My Jesus lives. That's like they told us back there in, what was it, in the 60s when they were saying God was dead. Alzheimer's or what his name was. What was that guy's name? Said that God was dead, and everybody run after it. And oh, they went on. I know my God lives because I talked to him this morning. Buddha tell you the same thing. What do you put your religion on? Buddha would put living a good life. What do we put? Go down to some of these lodges and get their staircase lecture and look at the statue of a perfect man drawn out on the floor in a lodge. You see what I'm talking about? What's the difference between a Christian and a religious person? A religious person goes to church, pays tithes, lives godly, you know, and does good. What do? You go to church, you pay your tithe, you live godly. And Brother Dale, I'm anointed. I've seen visions, I've had dreams, I've done these. I put myself right in the middle of that when I just said it. I've seen angels. That's no proof that you're born again. Mm-mm. No proof whatsoever. You say, but what's the proof that I'm a Christian? It's whether or not that one that's within you agrees. Which agrees is a plural statement, which means it will continue, because if it ever stops, it's not going to continue. I told the Baptists that, because the Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I said, how come it says believeth? When you taught us, we got everything when we believed. That's when I was walking out the door of the Baptist church, and that brother, he said, I know you're right. I said, that's what we taught. I said, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. You see, church, one of these days you'll find out that you walked away from a place that others went to that was dead. I ain't talking about buildings and Lula and this one and that one. I'm talking about the Word of God. But look at them today, how much they're splitting all across the land. And I don't blame them. I don't blame people for leaving. Because my soul is involved in what I believe. I love my family. Man, Terrence was talking about it today. Ain't it odd that you look at, and just put Lula, okay? The family at Lula is based around and housed around and dealing with the Dale family, because everybody's into jobs. Why not all of these other people? Why can't they get their kids to come to church? Well, why is yours here? Because I claimed them, believed they'd come. And I've tried my best to offer them a salvation that is simple enough to be able to understand. of salvation to be able to believe that if that new birth comes into your heart, that new birth that came on the day of Pentecost didn't just stop in the spirit of those people, the 120 to start with, and then the 3,000 later. It didn't just stop in their spirit. That spirit that I'll get to it later when we're talking about the spirit realm, it came down through their spirit, yes, but it quickened what was in their soul, which was the word they had heard. The Bible said they took the word and held it. And the Holy Ghost fell on that word and made that word alive. What's the difference in a Christian and a religious person? A religious person can be highly anointed, but they can't have the word alive. They will turn it down somewhere. But Brother Dale, if I got the anointing in my spirit, it'll teach me. I thought that the teacher that's within us is not a spirit realm like that of just teaching us this, that, or that. I thought it was an inside teacher that was in the soul. See, we're going to find out one of these days why Brother Dale, 50 years, has been hollering about a soul, trying my best to get the Lula Church onto one thing. That soul is the real you. I don't care where you're anointed at and what you've done and what you've seen. Maybe that's why God allowed me to come through where I'm at. If I'm lost, thank God, I'll still preach it right up to the day I die. Of this message is the truth. Then I don't care what you say, Brother Branham, done. Just give it a little time. It'll all be put together. But until that time comes, I'm going to stay with what I believe about it. That this word is the alive word. See, the anointing to a born-again Christian doesn't stop in your spirit. It goes and it quickens that word that's within your soul, the being that you are. And it made that 120 little Jesuses. 3,000 heard one message and got the same Holy Ghost that the others got, but not just an anointing. And the way, you know, the reason I love it, because see, all of them always would say, this is that. Come on, musicians. Peter rose up and said, this is that. This is what all the Old Testament had to say about it. Listen to what the prophet said on the message. God's provided way of healing. Now, they don't have this one, so there's a vast difference in looking at God's word and receiving God's word. I'm reading what he says. There's a vast difference in looking at God's word and receiving God's word. When you, them that receive the word, now watch, not them that examined it, but them that received it. Them that received the word, not them that examined it, but them that received it. God added to the church such as be saved. 3,000 souls receive the word. You can hear the word preached. You can look at it and admit that it's right. Cain did. All the others did. But just where the word fell, brought forth. Them that received it gladly was baptized, see, receiving the word. What is it? What is your new birth? I shouted, I cried, I spoke in tongues. But Brother Dale, now I'm above that now. I used to believe that, but now I don't believe that now. But I believe that because I done this or I done that, I'm saved. Well, you're just moving from one thing to another. Right? You're just moving from one place to another. Yeah. If that word is not made alive, now listen and we'll get back to this. If it drops into your spirit and stops, it will not be alive in your soul. If it comes into that spirit, and dwells long enough to quicken that's in your soul, then you're a child of God. Is that simple enough? Not if it stops on your spirit. Don't make you a Christian because it stops on your spirit. Mm-mm. Makes you a Christian when the same word, remember what Brother Ultig was talking about, the same children? The same children? You know, God has children, sons and daughters, that'll stand on the word and believe it. You can't turn them from it. Let's stand. Think on these things. What about it? What is your life dependence upon? Because you're anointed? Because I feel it? Yeah. A lot of you have heard my testimony. I love to tell it. But see, it's not telling it to get any glory out of it. It's to tell it to show what God can do. He can change us and make us his children. Right? Yeah, but if I'm predestinated, I'll make it. Now you're making it just a plump that he done something. A lot about predestination. What we got, brother?
251. All in him, Missy.
Just remember Anna and the baby there. Evidently they have it. Received any notice that he's got here yet.
Jesus.
So let's just pray that they'll take him, whatever has to be done. Anybody have a need? What about it? What is your dependence upon? Something you done? Or is it what he's saying? They're healed. Whatever's needed, financial, anything, it'll all be made manifest. We believe him, and we thank him. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Anybody else that have a need? Just a lot. One of them has the birth of the word. The other has their ideas or thoughts. What are we? Sister, she's asking for her husband, and we believe your word. We thank you. You said if any two would agree on anything, it'd be given unto them for your honor and glory, not ours. So now just go speak to her husband. Condemn him. Bring him forward. Put him on his knees if necessary. Whatever you got to do, Lord, just bring him forward. And we believe it. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Anybody else? You have a need? Come and see. Fullness of the Godhead. Our brother's asking for his natural sister to see the word. We believe, and we thank you, that you'll come down and bring a condemnation upon her heart. That she'll be, Lord, be to the place that she'll search after you, and she'll be found of you then. We agree with our brother that all is well. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Him, it's all in Him, it's all in Him, the mighty God is Jesus, and it's all.
If you want to hear something, you ought to go to Jamaica and listen to the oneness sing that song. It's all in Him. They'll raise the roof off a house. I thought the building was going to fall in. Just, you know, they love to sing about Him. Because they're the original coming down from Seymour, every which one, Daddy Grace or something back there coming down from Azusa Street. And they believe even in the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for water baptism. They're not that one that's sold out, you got to be 1-1-1-1-1. They'll talk to you. I sat down all day long and talked to the head of the, he had a title on his name that long. He was head of everything, and he was the head bishop of the island of Jamaica. I talked with him all day. It come to time that night to preach. Many of you have heard me tell it. Gave an altar call, preached as much as I could because my voice was gone. I gave an altar call. His son came. He didn't come drag him out. He come up there and prayed with us. And you know what I told him? I told him, I said, your mom and daddy's going to believe what they want to believe, but let's just make it serious. Y'all talk about speaking in tongues and your evidences and things. I said, let's just be Christians about it. Let's just let Christ come into these little children and to save their souls. You know what? There was many of them that did. I believe it. Because I tried to do the best I could, as sincere as I could, about Jesus Christ. That's why Brother Branham said what? He said, we're not getting them to Jesus. He said, I'm concerned about that. That we're not getting them to Jesus. What? The real Jesus of the Word. The real Lord Jesus. Not the Christ that we claim to be. But just study that on anointed ones. And just read through the book and go back through it. And look what your prophet taught on anointed ones. We would not be able to understand where we're at if it wasn't for that message that he brought. Right? Think on these things. Father, we thank you. We ask you to just go with us now as we go home. And Lord, just go there with us. We'll go by the hospital and see how the baby's doing and how Anna's doing. We pray by the time we get there, all is well. We believe you and we thank you. And we just ask you to have your way with each one of us. Forgive our sins and guide us, Lord. Keep us in your love. Take care of everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.